God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson, and this time, his testimony. The Encouraging Word. Indeed, we're going to dive into God's Word together today, but it'll be weaved into the wonderful testimony of our pastor, the host of The Encouraging Word, Dr. Don Wilson. It's coming up in just a few moments, but Dr. Don would want me to remind you that we're here as an interactive experience. Each and every day, it's our joy, especially during this coronavirus situation. We've had more and more people that said, you know, I just need to drop off this prayer request for a friend. 2 days ago, we were praying for a number of prodigals and just asking the Lord to do something unique in this season. Is there something you'd like us to be praying about? Give us a call. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. And now, Dr. Don Wilson.
Today, I'm going to get very personal with you. I want to speak to you on his life is my life. And I'm going to say this to you before I even begin. I'm asking the Lord that I don't get in the way of what you need to hear today. I want you to know something today from me, that I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. I cannot in a short space of time even begin to share with you my whole life, and that's not my purpose. But what I am going to do is I'm going to show you that his life is my life, because my life was radically changed. I mean completely. There are two passages of Scripture that I'm going to just put down on the table. The first one is going to be in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 21. And some are going to look at this and say, wow, that's a strange passage to talk about his life is my life. You see, there were a group of people. These people were very skeptical. And this group of people that surrounded the Lord Jesus were not unlike us. They had their businesses, their families, their religions, their churches and their temples and their synagogues. They had all the things that they were busy doing, and they thought that they could trap Jesus. So they went to him and they said to him, hey, listen, we want to know something from you. And I'm just putting this into modern day terminology. How do you live this life and honor Caesar, who was the man in control of everything they did, and yet at the same time have the kind of life change that you are telling us that we can have? Because Caesar is not a good person, and he lives in this world, and a lot of his laws are not good, and he can get pretty radical with people, and he's guilty of a lot of crime and issues, and he's a dictator. And how I just want you to know, you know what the law of the land is, and you know what it's like that you have to be politically correct in the land in which we live. You've got to obey Caesar. You've got to say and do the things that allow you to be accepted in this life. So come on, Jesus, tell us how can we live the life that you're telling us about and be in our world at the same time? And Jesus gave that classic answer. It's right there in verse 21. He said, render to Caesar those things that belong to Caesar, and render to God that which is from God. So now I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 12 in the Old Testament, because Genesis chapter 12 is my life verse. I love this. So in Genesis chapter 12, here's what the Bible says, talking about Abraham. The Bible says, now the Lord said to Abram, I want you to go from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house, and I want you to go to a land that I will, future tense, show you. And I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a great blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you, I will curse. And in you will all the families of the earth be blessed. And then verse 4 is where the water hits the wheel. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Abram did exactly what God told him to do. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do exactly what it is that God's telling you to do. So I was born a long way from here. I can't tell you how far that is. I mean, it takes a real effort to get where I was born. On the absolute southern tip of Africa. So just very quickly, I was born on the Indian Ocean of Africa, on the upper east coast, in a place called Zululand. So I'm a Zulu boy. I was born in KwaZulu-Natal, on the upper east coast of southern Africa, a long time ago. And I had, let me just put it this way, I had a very adventurous young life. Jumped around from one school to the next, did all kinds of stuff, got into everything you can possibly imagine. But one thing happened that was dramatic. My father gave his heart to Jesus, and it changed everything. You see, up until that point, I was about, I guess, 3 or 4 or 5 years old when this happened. So me and my two brothers were in a home where my mother and father didn't know Jesus. They never went to church. They weren't bad people. They weren't ungodly people. They were so involved. I mean, if they'd lived here, it would have been Gamecocks, Clemson. It would have been sport. It would have been out there on cutting edge, down at Myrtle Beach fishing for reds. It would have been out on the scene. It would have been wide open all the time, the social life. Last night they would have been at the club. My father would have been at the club right now as I'm speaking on a Sunday. He would have been playing golf, playing tennis. Their life was just one big social event. Very popular couple, did a lot of stuff. But inside of them, total emptiness. And one day, and I'm cutting a long story short, my father encountered the Lord Jesus. In fact, one of my favorite stories about my dad was him telling me how he was in that little church there on the east coast of southern Africa. And he used the phrase, it was as though the Lord Jesus Christ himself came into that church and stopped where he was sitting and looked at him and said to him, John Wilton, I love you and I died for you, and without me, you are nothing. And my father gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my mother gave her life to Jesus Christ. And their lives were completely turned around. Now remember, I'm just 5 years of age. I had nothing to do with this. I was just along for the ride. Wherever they went, I went. God called my father into the ministry, my mother and father. And for the rest of my life, I grew up with a mother and father who preached and told people about Jesus and shared the love of God all over the world. That's the home that I grew up in. But my life? Well, I jumped around from one school to the next. I even got into trouble when I was like in primary school. I mean, I was just two bricks and a ticky high. Now, how I did that, I don't know. I ended up going to boarding school. Don't hear a lot about that these days, excepting from friends like Martin Wildman. There are a few of us who understand boarding school. I went to boarding school way up in the country in the mountains of Zululand. I mean, we were cut off from everybody. And those years in boarding school, I was just 8 years of age. I was a little fellow, man, this big. I wasn't at home. I was living in dormitories. It was not a good experience for me. And there was a lot of stuff that went down. And we had to fight for survival. And back then, and I'm talking about the very early 1960s, in case any of you are wondering when that was, it was a tough environment. And you know that when I was a little fella, just 8, 9, 10 years of age, God began to speak to my heart. Some of you parents listening to me today, when your children start talking about Jesus, don't stop them. I was just a little fella. I was 8, 9, 10. I used to get on my horse. I would ride my horse bareback into the mountains of Zululand. A little boy, 8, 9, 10. I had a little 7 single gramophone record player. If you know what records are. And they have a little thing with a needle on it. And I would ride up into the mountains of Zululand, bareback, all by myself, among all the wild animals, the tribesmen. I would stop, I'd get my little gramophone record player, I'd put it down there on a rock or something, and tribesmen would come from just out of nowhere, and I'd put little 7 single from the inland mission, the Africa Inland Mission, in the Zulu language, and you'd have to wind it up, and then I'd put the needle on it, and it would start playing a song, and then it would have someone say something. And even today, I can still remember it running out of juice. It would be like, you know, dum de dum 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 and then I'd get it going again. And I would tell all the Zulu tribesmen about Jesus. And do you know what I did when I was about 10 years of age? I made a decision to give my heart to Jesus. My father was involved in that with me. And I loved my mother and father very much. But they lived a long way from where I was. And one time when I went home on one of the vacations, I gave my heart to Jesus. And I remember my father praying with me next to my bed. Now, I want you all to listen to me very carefully, because I don't know whether I gave my heart to Jesus that day, whether he really came into my life, and yet I believe that he did. But I'm going to tell you why I've got questions. Because from that age, the age of 10, until the age of 23, my life increasingly did not look like someone that had given his heart to Jesus. As a teenager, I was all over the place. I got into karate. I was fishing up and down the coast of Africa, riding motorbikes. I was hitchhiking all over Africa. We were out there with our friends. I had some friends. We were on the wild side of life. In fact, my life was so out there. I was so much, my mind and my heart was on the beach with those big waves and with the surf and with all the fun things of life, that I got to the 11th grade and I completely flunked the 11th grade. I got straight F's in every subject that I took in the 11th grade. Now that's a mark of distinction.
We'll be back with more of Dr. Don Wilton's testimony in just a moment. But as we think about the process that the Lord took Dr. Don through and the process that he's taking all of us through, we want you to know that we would be excited to see how God might include us in that process as one of your encouragers. Again, the encouraging word was founded on this truth that God's word is our greatest source of encouragement. And if there's something going on in your life, one of the first things we'll do as a part of the ministry team here at The Encouraging Word is try to help you find scripture that will benefit you to see how you can attack that problem, understand that situation, or perhaps gain some insight about what God would have you learn to share with someone else. In these moments, just know that we're available for you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell. It's available to connect you with one of us 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. Or we can connect online as well. Keyboard to keyboard at tewonline.org. Just know that we're here for you. Now back to this powerful testimony of Dr. Don Wilton.
And I didn't flunk the 11th grade because I was incapable of studying. I flunked the 11th grade because I just didn't go to school. I was out there on the beach. I was sneaking off. My parents didn't even know it. Came back and my father insisted that I go back to high school again. I did the 11th grade all over again. And then I got to the 12th grade and things began to come together again. I began to accomplish things. And in the first week of the 12th grade, the national call-up was made. You see, where I lived, war was going on in Africa, just like Vietnam here in America during the 60s. And all of us young men, when we arrived at high school in the 12th grade, the first week of our first day in high school in the 12th grade, we lined up, all of us, and the military came and they called out our number, and my number was called, and I stepped forward and they said, "Don Wilton, you are assigned to 1st Special Forces Battalion in central part of Africa. You're going to go into a crack unit. You're going to be trained as an officer. You're going to train as a tank commander, and we're going to send you off to war." And that was all of us. And I remember graduating from high school and within 2 days being on a troop train, heading up into the central part of Africa, going through 6 months of boot camp in a crack officer's training unit. And the whole time that I was there, and when they shipped me off up into southwest Africa, now known as Namibia, and up onto the Angolan border in the desert and in the jungles of Africa, deep down in my heart with all the things that were going on, I was not only far away from home, but I was far away from God. I was not only far away from home, I was far away from God. I don't think you could have gone to any one of the troops in my battalion and asked them if they thought Lieutenant Wilton was a Christian man, they would have laughed at you. Deep down inside of me, there was a longing going on. Deep down inside of me, I was crying out. Deep down inside of me, there was more to life. And with all the hostility and all the four-letter words and all the army stuff that goes on, and where we were so isolated, deep down inside of me, there was a hunger, a longing. I wanted more. And the more I wanted, the more I showed out, the more my macho image rose to the surface. Because I could do it with me. I was trained in mines and demolition. I could use weapons. I knew what unarmed combat was all about. I knew what it was to get face to face with somebody and tell them you're going to win before you even begin. I said to myself, there's got to be something in me. I can do this. I can do this. I can survive. I can survive. I can get to the top of this mountain. I can get through this. But deep down inside of me, I knew that I couldn't do it. And eventually that time came and I was discharged from the military 7, 8, 9 days on a troop train heading back to Civilian Street. And I remember arriving on that university campus. All I had was my military fatigues. I'd been in the desert for a long, long, long time. I had short little hair on the top. I was absolutely bronzed from the African sun, which eats you from inside to out. And I arrived with my army boots on and a t-shirt and nothing much else. And that was on Saturday, and Saturday night, some of my troops who were with me that had been with me through a lot of stuff, and I looked at some of them and I said, "Boys, let me tell you what we're going to do tomorrow." They said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to go to church." Well, at least three of them probably had a heart attack on the spot, but I do remember one of them saying to me, "Why would you want to go to church?" I said, "Just trust me, gentlemen, trust me. You've been with me through a lot. Trust me. Listen, man, I grew up around those churches, and the best-looking chicks in town go to that church down the road. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be quite honest with you, it was the only reason I went to church. Girls, we'd been in the desert long enough, thank you very much, and I'm telling you now, we were ready to meet girls. I mean, that's all we talked about on this train coming back. I mean, forget about Mama, you know, who I didn't see, by the way, or my father. I saw them 6 months later. They'd moved to another city. And so that morning, I got up in that church. It was quite a small church with a big balcony. Come over here, duckling. She's got no idea about this. Isn't she beautiful, man? I tell you. So I go to church, and there I am sitting in the balcony. I couldn't have cared two hoots about what they sang about or what Richie looked like. And I mean, my mind was not on silly little hymns. and choruses and particularly the preacher. I mean, who wanted to listen to what he had to say? And I looked all the way down from the balcony where I was with the other troops, and there on the front row, all I could see was this view. I'm telling you, I stood up to sing that hymn, and my legs were going like this.
My legs are too.
And when we got to the end of that worship service, okay, the preacher said, all of those who want to give your hearts to Jesus, come down the front. I said, I'll do that. I came down, and there she was. There she was. And I walked up to her, and I said, hey, you know, I couldn't get over the fact that she would be so blessed to get to meet me. I went up to her, and I said to her, hey, I said, my name's Don. Do you know what she said? So what?
No. I said, and so?
I tell you, man, I chased her around for months. I mean, I got her to go to rugby matches with me, and then I'd grab her hand, and then we'd go there. Listen, she lived in a dorm that had steps going up like this, and one night we went, we'd been to a movie, and she was really starting to see the light now, just how very special she was going to be if she hung around with me. And we go charging up the hill, and there are couples all over the hillside at the dorm. And boy, they're all like this. So I grab her. I said, this is it, man. I'm going to put a number on her. She's never going to get over this. And man, I'm telling you, you could feel the sparks. And I tell you, I just get up close. I'm about to put the biggest, best kiss she's ever had in her entire life. And at the moment of impact, she says, why don't we pray for a little bit? Go back to your seat, duckling, please. Can we give her a big hand? I want to say something to all the girls in our worship services today. I don't want anybody to go out here and say, Dr. Wilton doesn't believe in prayer. I believe in prayer. You pray constantly, all day, every moment you get. But there's sometimes you don't pray. Exercise a little thought here, girls. A little bit of wisdom will be very helpful. Well, needless to say, my girlfriend loved the Lord Jesus. And this little girl of mine had such an influence in my life. I'm telling you, she was so precious, man. I was so head over heels in love, I would have done anything for her. So you got it. Yep, I started to get my life back together. That was a battle. Now, I wasn't a bad person, but I wasn't living for the Lord. And eventually, by God's grace, the two of us fell in love. And 1976, both our fathers married us. I love my parents-in-law, and I love my own parents. God has been so wonderful to us. And of course, I remember our wedding. And packed out and all the things that went on and our beautiful honeymoon up on the border of Lesotho in Africa and all the things that we experienced together. But inside me was the longing of my heart. You know what happened? It didn't take very long before my influence began to affect even this beautiful bride that God had given to me. My heart, not a bad heart, just a heart of influence. You see, I would rather go and play cricket on a Sunday. I'd rather go to a rugby match. I'd rather be out there surfing, riding our motorbike. We used to ride motorbikes all over the place where we lived in Africa. And then I remember that day, we went to church. That preacher got up that day, and he just spoke about the Lord Jesus. You know what? It's as though the Lord Jesus himself stood there in that church, looked at me, said, Don, I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I love you. And without me, you're nothing. And we went back to friend's house and with my wife at my side, got on my knees. And I want you to know that I prayed a prayer something like this. Lord Jesus, when I was 10 years of age, I made a decision to give my heart to you. In my heart, I believe you came into my heart. But I want you to know that almost since that time, my life has not been in sync with your life. I don't have peace in my heart. I don't want to go through life for the rest of my life on an if, a but, or an and. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm forgiven. I want to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And today I confess and I repent before you, and by faith I receive you into my heart.
That's how the Lord changed the life of this man, Dr. Don Wilton, simply by giving his heart to Jesus Christ. It really is straightforward and simple. And now, later on, the pastor of a church, the head of the ministry, the Encouraging Word, and for the last 26 years of Dr. Billy Graham's life, Dr. Don was his pastor, built a wonderful relationship, a great friendship. But it all was rooted in the fact that they are part of the family of God, first and foremost. Both pastors, both evangelists, but ultimately, first and foremost, connected as brothers in faith. Are you connected to this family of God? If you're not, today could be the day for you to join the family. It's as simple as opening your heart to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Dr. Don will tell you how you can change your life forever right now.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
As Dr. Don kind of corrected me, this is all about what God's going to do in your life. You and I have to say yes, but the power of God is what will change your life. If the Lord's changed your life, we'd love to pray with you, pray for you, and put some resources in your hands absolutely free. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673, TEWonline.org.
It's so easy to think that no one cares about what you're going through. In times of discouragement or trouble, it's hard to know who to trust and where to turn. You can turn to us. Day or night, 24/7, we are here for you. We want to pray for you. It doesn't matter what it is you are battling. We can help you lay it at the feet of Jesus and believe with you for what you are needing. Call us, write this number down, and share it with others. We are not a recording. We are real people that care. If you need someone to pray for you or to pray for you for someone else, call us, 866-899-WORD. All prayer requests remain confidential. Thank you for listening to the Encouraging Word today.
Before we get away, I hope you have signed up for the daily Encouraging Word emails from Dr. Don. If not, you can do that right now on our website at TEWonline.org. You can even text the word daily to 30500. We'll send you a quick link and you can sign up and have them in your mailbox first thing tomorrow morning. Sign up for the daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don.